7:38, Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Well, I'll tell you what, y'all scared me for a minute with the Joe Evans.
No. She's here. She's all right.
I apologize for that, yeah.
Okay. That caught me off guard.
Yeah, that's done. Tell you, boy, there's been a lot of stuff going on. I'd like to, I guess, get your your thoughts on the two Supreme Court rulings here this week, one having to do with unions, but also the Hobby Lobby case.
Well, I thought both of them were exactly the correct decisions, and both of them were to reverse some of the overreaches by the Obama administration. And so I'm glad the Supreme Court did what it did. I mean, it stood up for religious freedom under our First Amendment, and also it stood up for the unfair taking of persons' incomes by unions.
Now, I'm going to tie this to another story we'll talk about in a minute as far as verification of people who've already signed up for Obamacare, but you know, there was a time a couple of years ago when we were talking about the Republican strategy was to break this thing into pieces and unfund it rather than being able to dismantle the entire thing. Does that start to have a life of its own now again? Because the Supreme Court seems to have at least cherry-picked that area out and said it's not going to work the way it's designed.
Well, I don't know that Congress can do anything about it at this point in terms of unfunding that piece because essentially, the Supreme Court fixed the issue that Congress was raising about Obamacare. And so, you know, we're going to have to, given the current situation in Congress where one branch is controlled by one ideology and the other branch is controlled by another ideology, and you've got a president that believes strongly in the signature legislation, we're going to have to try some other methods in order to get something that passes that gets rid of this behemoth that's called Obamacare.
With that in mind, a new report that the Inspector General put out from the Department of Health and Human Services said that there are some inconsistencies, like 2.6 million inconsistencies that haven't been fixed in the first quarter of 2014. Is that the kind of thing that can embolden some Congress to take action?
Well, it'll help, but I think you and I both know that no matter how bad it is or how unconstitutional law is, the Senate believes that the president should be supported on this piece of sorry legislation. And so we of the House can do just what we've done, and that's try to fix it, you know, or repeal it, you know, 50-plus times. But we're going to get nowhere without having any help from the Senate. And then certainly if the Senate did go along with us, the White House is going to veto it. So I think that the American people are going to have to make a political decision come November. And when they make that decision about the direction they want the country to go, then maybe that puts us in a better position to fix it then. But, you know, Harry Reid is the firewall for the president that prevents any action by the House from getting any traction.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. Yesterday, the president took Congress to task for not doing anything having to do with the Federal Highway Trust Fund. You and I spoke about that, I guess, about 3 weeks ago as to what was going to happen. This is about to run out of money, and what do you see we'll be able to do to get this funded?
Well, Congress has got this on its agenda, despite what the president says, and the leadership in the House came up with a fix about 3 weeks ago to try to put $12 billion into the trust fund for the remainder of this year to fund the shortfall. It was a little gimmicky, and many members of the House didn't like it, so we didn't vote on it. And we're working on alternative fixes now. And so my hope is that when we go back into session on Tuesday of next week, that we can get something queued up and on the floor pretty quick. If not that week, the following week. We've got to get this fixed because the trust fund runs out of money here before the end of July. And we need to keep these projects going. I mean, if you want to talk about the core issue here, I'm sorry?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
The core issue here is that economic growth is slow, and that's what's one of the contributing factors to the shortage in the trust fund. And you could tie that back to the president's policies. I mean, this is almost everything that the president's touched has turned out to be a failure, and the Highway Trust Fund is one of them, is another manifestation of his economic policies.
You know, one of the things that's great in the Brazos Valley and in Texas as a whole is that our economy is ginning along pretty well. But, you know, if you look at the last two quarters, we're talking about a change of almost 6 points in the gross domestic product. I mean, for the GDP to fall as much as it did in one quarter is pretty frightening.
It is, and we've had very few adjustments like that in the history of this country economically. And you can tie it back to several things, but what I'm hearing from the business folks in the country is that, you've got this crescendo of regulatory activities coming out of not only Obamacare, but Dodd-Frank, the EPA, OSHA, Department of Labor, you name it, and they are just crushing our businesses, particularly our small businesses. And so I think that was one of the contributing factors here that played into this. Now, the Democrats are trying to blame it on the weather, but there's never been an economic downturn this sharp and this quick that was caused by weather. So there are other factors here. Now, we won't have a full postmortem on what happened in the first quarter for a while, but it looks like it's because the headwinds that are blowing in the face of employers coming straight out of Washington.
Sure.
We've got to get this fixed. You know, when I ask people around the country what the number one issue is on their minds, if you're in Texas, they say presidential overreach. If they're outside of Texas, they say jobs and the economy. And so I think that's a reflection on the fact that we are lucky here in Texas because we have a fairly strong economy.
Yep. Bill Flohr is joining us this morning. The 300-pound gorilla in the room, obviously the immigration, the children at the border. Dallas has apparently agreed to take on some of these kiddos in two locations up there in Dallas County and the first city to do that. But tell me what you can share as far as what kind of impact we're going to feel here in Texas.
Well, HHS is looking to locate some of those children here, and we all want to be humanitarians, and we all want to try to deal in a humane way with this tragedy that's caused by the president's immigration policies. We're a smaller community, and we don't have the economic resources of some parts of Texas, so we've got to be careful what happens here. I mean, for instance, let's say that we had a few hundred of these kids come into Brazos County. Well, that's going to put a real strain on our schools, which don't have the resources to be able to deal with an influx of non-English-speaking kids that early. So this is something that my office is working with our local leaders on to try to address. But, we can't say much more right at this time. Hopefully, when we talk next Wednesday, we can have more details.
Well, and I mean, that's the educational side. We have to house them. They have to be clothed. They have to be fed. They have to really be taken care of. They have to be transported from one port to the other. They have to be basically protected. They have to be secure in these areas. I mean, those are things that are 24/7 type issues that, as you say, we're one community. You're going to have to multiply this hundreds and hundreds of times across the country.
Right, and you will. And I mean, we didn't even talk about the medical impact. A lot of these kids are coming over with things like tuberculosis and issues that we haven't had to deal with as a country for a few decades. We may have a real crisis on our hands in terms of the impact on us as citizens because of this.
Well, and that's one.
And it all goes right back to the president's failure to live up to the immigration laws that Congress passed.
Well, and that's as the governor mentioned, and we're on the cusp of hurricane season. If we happen to have some sort of a disaster that forces people to move off the coastline, then that'll just exacerbate this situation.
Oh yeah, I mean this could be like we had with Katrina when you had to you scattered the folks from New Orleans around, and some communities really suffered. I remember what Houston was going through after the Katrina refugees relocated there. I mean, crime went up and several other societal issues became a real problem for a while.
Yeah, you shifted the demographics. Well, okay, Sal, you go into session again next week.
Right, next Tuesday.
And what are the things that are going to be top of the agenda there?
Well, we're in the middle of appropriation season, so we're going to continue trying to get the funding set up for the government beginning fiscal 15, which is October the 1st, the fiscal year starting October 1st. We also need to deal with this highway trust funding issues, and then we've got some other issues to deal with as well. Immigration continues to be something that's talked about, but it's given what the president's done and what he's threatening to do with his pen, I think it even makes it harder to get anything done that's meaningful.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning.
Good to talk to you. We need to talk about the IRS again sometimes.
It'll still be here.
I'd like to ask everybody to continue to pray for our country and our military men and women and our first responders.
Great. Thanks for the time this morning.